This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be in worship together, and it is my joy to welcome you, whether you are here in this sanctuary or joining us over live stream. We are grateful to be together and know that the Spirit of Christ unites us as we worship this morning. I'd like to invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance to let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link in the chat you can follow, or here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you would pass those down and back again, that'll give you a chance to see the names of other folks sitting on the row with you. If you are visiting with us and perhaps have been worshiping here for a little while and considering becoming a member of the church officially, we have a new member class that is starting this Sunday, right after this service downstairs in McWhorter Hall. It runs for 4 weeks, and it would give you an opportunity to learn more about the theology of the United Methodist Church, who we are as a congregation, and who God is calling us to be, and a chance to get to know some other folks who are also considering becoming members. So we invite you to join us there. I'd like to say a special word of welcome this morning to Liz McDevitt, who is with us from United Methodist Committee on Relief. She's giving the UMCOR wave, she said. She is here to lead the disaster training that we're hosting for our annual conference this afternoon. I know many of you have signed up, and we're very grateful for your presence with us and for our connection that allows us to be in ministry together. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. If you are a college student, I want you to know that we have a lunch with college students after the 11 o'clock service every Sunday. So if you're here at this service and want to come back at noon, they'll be gathering in the narthex out there and going to lunch together. A couple of exciting church-wide events coming up. This coming Saturday, the artist James Hei-Chi is coming as a special guest of West End United Methodist Church. To talk with us about his story, to share 26 works of art that will be on display up in the Fourth Story Theater. And art is one of the ways that we can experience and meditate on the goodness of God. He's done lots of beautiful, colorful artworks around biblical stories. So we hope that you can come and be part of that on Saturday morning from 9 to noon. And you can go to the website and register for that event. You don't have to register, but it gives us some numbers, so we'll have a good number of refreshments. Then the following weekend, on Sunday the 25th, from 4:30 to 6:30, we're having a church-wide picnic at Richland Park on Charlotte Avenue, and we hope that you'll come. We've got cornhole and can jam and all sorts of fun games to play, and we are really enjoying opportunities to connect with one another, so we hope that you'll come and meet some new folks on that Sunday. Finally, just a word about our organ. It is working about 90% of the time, and it's being honed, and we're feeling really positive about it and grateful for all the expertise and the folks who've come around to help us. So we will be using the organ this morning. Just want you to be aware, if it decides to glitch out, we will pivot, because we're good at that now. We've got our piano, we've got talented musicians. We're hoping that that won't happen, but just to let you know, in case it does, the show must go on, right? Worship must always be our priority, and we can worship God with many, many different instruments. So we're grateful to have the organ back this morning, and looking forward to this time of worship together. We'll be hearing the stories about things that have been lost and found. I'm grateful to have been found with all of you. Let us praise the God who never stops seeking for us and for all.
Oh, a shepherd seeks a lost sheep, like a woman who searches for a lost coin until it is found. Therefore, let us praise God in thanksgiving that we are valued and loved. And rejoice over one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and what we carry is held in God's unconditional love. Merciful God, you seek us out when we have lost our way. We seem to do that often. We follow the crowd and take the path of least resistance. We turn from you, seeking our own will and our own comfort. We forget our neighbors, we ignore injustice, and we cause harm to your creation. Have mercy on us, God, according to your loving kindness. Help us put the past behind us and move forward in ways that are just, merciful, and loving. May we be people who go out looking for those in need of kindness and justice. May we be a people servant, inherited value of every person. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of our Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Luke 15:1-10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Into them. The third graders will be receiving their third grade Bible, which is a long-standing tradition in the Methodist Church and in churches throughout the world, especially at West End as well. And so they will be getting that Bible in a few minutes. I'm going to call the names of the 3 and 4-year-olds first. They will be in alphabetical order. So when you hear your name, if you'll come to the middle, one of the pastors will bring your Bible to you, and then we will... And after we'll do the 3 and 4-year-olds, and then the third graders, and then we'll pray as a congregation over all of them, okay? So, Tristan Counts. She's 11. Eloise Dabbs. Oh, and 3 and 4-year-olds, make sure you use 2 hands. These Bibles are very heavy. Wesley Donald. George Durst. He's here. They're coming. Margot Goodrich. Piper Hardesty. Hudson Landry. Charlotte Malloy. William Marigza Yo. Roscoe Morrison. Carolyn Riley. Savannah Shelton. Anne Blair Snyder. Rich Snyder. Congratulations to all our 3 and 4-year-olds and our third graders. Noah Bacher. Mason Chen. He's over there. William Durst. Amelia Fazio. Jackson Picklesimmer. Simon Schaefer. Caroline Thompson. And Carter Wiseman. Congratulations to all our third graders. All right, now let me make sure there's not anybody that I missed who's standing up here. Excellent. All right, so let us bless these children together. Receive the Word of God, learn its stories, and study its words. Its stories belong to us all, and these words speak to us all. They tell us of God's love, they tell us who we are. They tell us that we belong to one another, for we are the people of God. Holy God, we thank you for each of these children before us. We rejoice in this step in their faith journey. We love them, and we ask your blessing on them and the adults who care for them. Lord, may they all experience your love as they discover together the stories of Scripture. We pray that the stories will light up their path and help them grow to be the people you created them to be. We ask that your word would live in their hearts all their days. Amen. All right, so if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can meet me at that door for Children's Church. Everyone else can return to your seats. And families, make sure you stop by Reed Hall and get a gift bag after the service. Congratulations to everyone.
If this isn't a sign of hope and God's amazing work in our midst, I don't know what is. I'm so excited to see all of these children and to know that each one of them is getting their very own Bible from this congregation. So thank you for celebrating them. And I ask that you would continue to keep them in your prayers as they continue their faith journeys. And just to give a little secret, you might want to be getting your own Bibles ready, because next year, in 2023, the plan is for us to read the Bible through together. So just a little hint. So go ahead and get your school supplies ready. We're all going to be diving in together next year. But this morning, we are in the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, looking at two parables that Jesus told about things that were lost and things that were found. About 20 years ago, one of the favorite restaurants David and I enjoyed going to was called Mirror in 12th South. Do any of y'all remember Mirror? It was like one of the first restaurants to open up in 12th South. There was this really cool woman there named Stephanie, who must have been one of the managers, but she was often tending the bar, and she was the one who picked all the music that was playing in the background. Great taste in music. I loved Stephanie's music. So one night, David and I were sitting there at dinner, and this song came on, and I was like, oh, suddenly transported back to 1990. And I knew this song. It was on a CD that I had, because we had CDs in the 90s, and I knew it was the last song of the CD, but for the life of me, I could not figure out who the group was. I was racking my brain. I know this song. And I thought, well, I'll just ask Stephanie at the end of the night. Well, of course, the waiter came and took our orders, and we got into conversation and all of these things, and I forgot to ask Stephanie. Next thing I know, the restaurant's closed, and I cannot find this song. That was 20 years ago. Fast forward, about 2 years ago, in the depth of the lockdown, when you try to make fun in whatever ways you can, David and I were cooking dinner and trading off playing songs for each other. And then we were listening to the radio. I can't remember how it came on, but a song came on, not the song, but a song came on that was by this same group, I thought. And I was like, wait, I think I know this group. and it was the Stone Roses. That's it. It's the Stone Roses. So I went and looked at their CD that came out around my senior year of college, and there it was, the last song, a 9-minute song called Fool's Gold, best song ever. And I had found it. And you can ask David, I was like jumping around the kitchen. I was so excited. A song that I had lost. At one point, it had been part of my catalog. And then I lost it. And it took me 30 years to find it again. But now it is on Spotify. And with the touch of a finger, I can play it anytime I want to. Now, that's a silly example in a lot of ways. But it gives me a window of understanding, just a glimpse of the kind of joy Jesus is talking about in these parables. Chapter 15 of Luke's gospel actually has three parables: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the whole rest of the chapter tells the story of the lost son, the parable we call the prodigal son. And all of these parables end with rejoicing. Something is found, and there is a big party that gets thrown. And my little experience with this little song just gave me a glimpse of that kind of joy you feel when you find something that's been lost. Of course, we know Jesus isn't talking about songs or coins or sheep. He's talking about people. Finding people who have felt cut off from God, who have felt cut off from the community of love and faith, who have felt isolated and lost. And so what he does in these parables, before we can get to the party, to the jumping up and down in the kitchen and rejoicing moment, he invites us to consider what it means to be lost, what it feels like to be lost, and how many different ways people like us can get lost. I was reading a commentary early this week, and we were talking about the behavior of sheep and how easy it is for a sheep to get lost. They're not the smartest animals in the world, and they can get to chewing on the grass and just focus on the little patch of green in front of them, feeding their appetites, filling their stomachs, and then at some point might look up and realize they're alone. But when a sheep gets lost, it won't cry out. It doesn't bleat. It doesn't do anything to participate in its own rescue. What it does is just curl up in a ball and hide out of fear. And I wonder if we know what that feels like when we get lost, when we feel isolated and alone and cut off from God and cut off from others. Maybe we too have that tendency to just curl up in a ball and be immobilized. There are lots of different ways to get lost. We see some of them in the parables themselves. It all starts because there are religious authorities, some Pharisees and scribes, who are grumbling because Jesus is hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors and sinners are coming near to Jesus and listening. They're turning toward God, and it's making these religious folks mad. And so Jesus tells these stories, and suggesting that these tax collectors and sinners are those who have been lost and are now being found. Now, a tax collector in Jesus' day would have been someone who was a Jew himself, but who had decided to collaborate with the occupying Roman army and collect taxes for Rome from his own people. And many times, tax collectors would charge extra so that they could line their pockets and get rich. And so their people saw them as those who were taking advantage of them, participating in the oppression of their own people for the sake of profit. So perhaps they were sheep who were eating the grass of greed and power and self-preservation at the expense of their own people, and it had taken them down a path to lead them to isolation and maybe even feeling separated from God. Their own choices, their own behavior had gotten them lost. Now, I don't know exactly what is meant by sinners in this passage, tax collectors and sinners, But one of the ways I interpret that perhaps is that these are folks who've been labeled as sinners, as unworthy because of what they've done or who they are or whatever. The religious authorities have decided they're sinners, they're not worthy to be in the synagogue, they're not worthy to be included, they are certainly not approved of by God, and we shouldn't hang out with them because they threaten our own purity. And so I think about those who might feel lost because of labels others have put on them, that someone else has decided that they're not worthy and they don't belong, and that God is displeased with them. And so they feel lost and cut off. There are other ways that we get lost, maybe some that you've experienced. I have a dear friend who recently lost someone that she loved very much. And I was talking to her, checking in with her, and she said, you know, I don't know what I believe anymore. I don't know where God is. I feel like I'm walking around in a fog. Her grief had just covered her in this fog, and all she could do was eat the little patch of grass that was in front of her. And one day she looked up and realized she was disoriented and didn't know where she was, feeling cut off from God and from the people of God. Sometimes things happen to us in life, the death of a loved one, a divorce, the loss of a job, the crumbling of an institution we have loved, whatever it may be, a pandemic, and we feel disoriented and we just don't know where God is and we feel lost. That's a very real human experience for many of us. For others of us, perhaps we find ourselves lost just because we've been going about the daily grind of living life and the routines and going to work and doing our responsibilities and just falling asleep to our souls. Waking up one morning and realizing, I don't know where God is. I don't feel connected to myself or to anybody, and it's nothing major has happened. I just kind of lost my way. Many other ways to get lost, but the only other one I want to highlight this morning is back in the text. And it's this great irony of this whole story. We have these religious authorities who are grumbling because Jesus is welcoming tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus is talking about those who are lost. And you got to wonder, who's actually lost in this scenario? The tax collectors and the sinners are drawing near to Jesus. They are repenting. They're turning toward God through what they're hearing in Jesus. What if it's actually the Pharisees and the scribes who are grumbling who are far from God? What if it is they who are cut off from the blessings of God? Perhaps it's a sign. The fact that they're not rejoicing, that it's not good news to them that there are sinners who are repenting. It's not good news to them that there are people that are being found. Maybe they are the ones who've turned their back on God. Which brings us to the parable of the prodigal son. Which, if you know that parable, you know the younger brother goes out on his own, spends all this money of his father's money, gambling and drinking and following his own pleasure. And then he goes broke, is destitute, desperate, and he comes back home. And his father welcomes him. He's not worried about what happened. He's just glad to have his son back home. And then there's the older brother. Like these religious authorities who've been following all the rules, who've been obeying their father, who feel like they've done everything they're supposed to do. And there's a party going on because the younger brother has come home and the older brother just doesn't want any part of it. He's standing outside. And even though his father comes to him and says, "Everything I have is yours, please come into the party. You're always with me and I'm always with you." The story is left open. The question is, will he come to the party? And so at the end of all three of these parables, we have some bad news, some good news, really good news and an invitation. The bad news in some ways is that at some point, most of us along the way will get lost. We'll lose our way for whatever reason, maybe because of our own choices, maybe because of what other people say about us or do to us, maybe because of what happens to us in our lives, maybe because we just fall asleep in the routines of life. Or maybe because we're so convinced that we're right, that we can't rejoice in the mercy and compassion of God. So at some point, most of us will get lost here and there. But the good news is that we have a God who will never stop seeking and searching and pursuing us and every one of God's children. God is not satisfied with 99% out of 100. It's not good enough. God will not rest or rejoice until all of God's children are at the table. And so there's the invitation to be those who are ready at any moment to throw a party and to join in the party, to join God in that work of seeking and searching the lost and of rejoicing when they return. There is a party going on in the church, the world needs to know. And everyone's invited. Thanks be to God.
It's a party in here, so I invite you to rise in body and in spirit and join your voices together joyfully as we proclaim our faith with our affirmation of faith found on 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated, party people. As we come to our time of prayer today, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayer concerns with us, there are several ways you can do that. One is by visiting our website and following the link under Contact Us, and that's a place where you can leave prayer concerns. And you are also, if you are worshiping in the sanctuary, to find one of the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you and fill out one of those cards, and then you may place it in the offering plates in a few moments as they make their way down the pews. This morning, we are offering our prayers of condolences and of sympathy to Bill Miller and his family, who are mourning the death of his sister, Elizabeth Piper, who died September 6th. Services will be held at a later date. And now let us go to prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of ever-seeking love and grace, today we have been reminded that there is much rejoicing whenever that which is lost has been found. We pray that you will fix this truth at the center of our lives. Help us remain aware of those persons who may need to be found, who may need to know a kind word, a caring touch, and a warm welcome. Make us channels of your finding spirit. Furthermore, we pray to be reminded that you always seek us out, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter what we have experienced. You are our companion, our guide, and our strength. You never abandon us. Lord of healing and restoration, on this day when we remember your ability to recover what has been lost, we are reminded that it is also the anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy. For so many of us, that is a day we remember vividly as a moment of great loss, a massive loss of innocent life, a loss of our sense of safety and well-being, a loss of faith in our fellow humans. That tragedy and the many events that followed still shape our world today in profound ways. We pray for all that was lost on that day, and we pray that you will continue to help our world find peace and mutual respect for one another and one another's lives and dignity. And now we lift up our many personal prayers and petitions in a moment of silent prayer. As people who have been found by your abiding love, we join our voices together to pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation, so we simply invite you to give as you are able and feel led. If you're worshiping online, you may follow the instructions on the screen for giving. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
friends, this is a little taste of heaven, of the great heavenly party that's going on here and now, to which everyone is invited. Aren't we glad to have been found and invited and included? Remember that feeling as we go out to seek and find others for the sake of God. We go in Christ's name. Amen.